Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, December 4th, 2018, episode 14.14, the NFL Week 14 show. Man, that's a ton of 14s. I want to throw one more at you, Steve. Dan Fouts. How about that? How about that? An old San Diego Charger. And speaking of the Chargers, how about those Chargers, Steve?
How about them Chargers?
I'm sure you have a lot to say about that in a bit. We'll talk about that. The Packers lose to the Cardinals, and the Mike McCarthy era is officially over in Green Bay. I know somebody sitting right next to me who will have a ton to say about that. We'll talk about McCarthy firing. Season-ending injuries hit the Panthers, Bengals, and Redskins, and the Steelers may be without their running back James Conner for a while. We'll talk about all that. Plus, the Chiefs release Kareem Hunt right before this weekend's game. I'll tell you why the NFL just doesn't get it. They have no idea how to handle the aggressive nature of the players within their league. But more than that, they don't know how to go after the truth. But don't get me started on that now. Let's save it for a raid. Right now, let's chomp it in. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves. I think I said there, let's save it for a rave. No. That's going to be a rant coming up shortly.
Yes. We've had rain.
Rain?
Yeah.
Rave.
Rave.
I had rain. I had snow. I had rain mixed with snow that didn't stick on the ground. And then I had snow that stuck on the ground while I was in Minnesota for Packers Vikings. I have to show you something. Have you ever been to a Vikings game in Minnesota?
I have not, no.
Steve, they're crazy, man. They yell, they stand up for the entire game, basically. They've got this skull chant that they do with the clap and the big horn. I don't know if you're not on Facebook, so you don't see any of the pictures that I post on there.
I'm familiar with the horn.
Yeah, yes. You're familiar. Well, of course you're familiar with the horn. But I was there live. I touched it. And the cool thing is, during the game at halftime, Randy Moss gets his Hall of Fame ring there in Minnesota. And he's the guy that started NFL Rants and Raves. The reason we are here talking today is because Randy Moss, I got to see him get his ring. Let me see if the cup's here. No, the cup's probably getting washed. I got a Randy Moss cup. I was very excited to be there and see him. And it turns out one of my cousins is friends with Moss. So I am working with my cousin right now so that we can get Randy Moss on the show. And I can tell him he's the reason we're doing the show and see what he feels about that.
So, I'm sure he will be blessed to know that.
So that may be coming up hopefully in the next couple of weeks. But it is cold in Minnesota. So the stadium is indoors. It's enclosed, right? And thank God, because that night it was 17 degrees outside. Walking the two blocks, I parked as humanly possible as close to the stadium. It was still two blocks away, but that walk from the stadium, from the car to the stadium, probably the worst 20 minutes of my life. And it wasn't so much the walk. I got there pretty quickly, but it was standing in the line to get into the stadium. I was freezing. I have not been that cold in ever.
So we go back to Wisconsin about once a year usually.
Yeah.
Not always, but.
Go during the summer.
But we go during the summer.
Very
right.
Smart,
this
man.
Last year, a year ago, we agreed to go back for Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a great time. Had fun with
yeah,
the family.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. It's great to see the family, but
on December 27th, we got dropped off at the Green Bay Airport for a 6 a.m. flight or a 7 a.m. flight, something like that. The thermometer on the car was minus 20 degrees.
Oh, no. See, no,
we pulled into the driveway here in Pasadena, and it was 80 degrees.
No. I can.
That is why California is going to remain
your home,
where we are for the time being.
Yeah, no, same for me, man. I was there, and so I didn't take my trench coat with me, which was a big mistake. My wife, I love her, Trisha, she's great. She's like, you should take your big heavy gloves and your trench coat. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't need my trench coat. So I don't take. Fortunately, I did take gloves, but it wasn't the heavy gloves. It was just some light gloves and a light jacket. And that was – so my first day in the office, you know, all the people, they're looking at me and they're like, yeah, you're not dressed for Minnesota. It's like, I know, I'm freezing.
I'm shocked at how quickly the blood thins when you're out here.
I am just not – I mean, I've never really lived anywhere where it's cold. Yeah, we've had some cold nights back home in Texas, and we've had some cold nights here, but I've never truly lived where it's 0 degrees.
I mean, here,
that's a different kind of cold.
This time
man.
Of year here in Southern California, you know, at night it gets down into the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes lower 50s, but it very rarely drops below 50. Our first couple of years in Southern California, I'd go out getting the train to go to work in the morning, and I'd see people in winter coats and winter hats, and I'm just laughing at them as I'm walking around in a t-shirt or something else. Well, I think it was about 3 years in that I was there, not necessarily with a full winter coat, but definitely a heavy sweatshirt, and the gloves or hands are in the pockets, if not gloves or something. The
50,
blood
49 degrees
quickly.
Starts to feel pretty dang cold.
Yeah.
And when that's all you ever experience and you get off the plane and it's 17, that's a big difference, man. That's a big difference. But anyways, if you want to see some of the pictures from that stadium and the big cool Viking ship they got outside and the big horn and the skull Viking video, come out to the website, NFLRNR.com. I'm going to put some of the stuff up there. Also, follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Get some cool images. So let's just jump right into it, buddy. We're going to start with Green Bay. They decided not to wait. They lose to the Arizona Cardinals 2017 in Green Bay. Thank you very much. Eliminated me from my survivor pool. Week 13, not very many people left. You think you're going to get some of that cash.
Yep.
And a team that is favored by 14 points at home loses.
Snowing. Yeah. To a team from the desert.
That plays in a dome.
Right. It was inexcusable.
So the Packers lose. Knock me out, make me very angry and bitter. But shortly after that game, before Sunday Night Football, it is released the Green Bay Packers fired head coach Mike McCarthy.
Apparently it was completely blindsided him. And what, only the second coach in NFL history who's got fired from the team he won a Super Bowl with.
Won a Super Bowl for you guys.
Midseason. There are lots of coaches that have been fired at the end
after
of
the season.
Season.
Yeah, but this is, you know, you got four
and,
games
and
to go.
I think if look, over this last five-game stretch, if they had gone, you know, 3-2 or even 2-3, I mean, their schedule is kind of light. The back end of the season, they should be winning at least 3, if not 4, of these games.
Right.
But to lose this game, it was...
And it was a game you had to have. If you wanted to keep playoff hopes alive, it was a game that they absolutely had
after
to win.
Losing to the Vikings the week before. Right. It was playoff hopes were, I mean, we no longer controlled our own destiny.
No,
right?
You needed help.
We were now.
You needed to run the table
and get a lot of help. So you needed to keep that win, and you know it's a game that we shouldn't have lost. Now, I don't think it's all on the shoulder. We were talking earlier. I don't know that it's all on the shoulders of McCarthy.
No,
Rodgers is holding this ball a long time. He doesn't seem to be taking any risks. He seems to be, you know, I think right now the note I saw is 355 passes without an interception.
Yeah, but outside of Devontae Adams, who does he really have?
But to be an NFL receiver, you don't need to be a top-notch Devontae Adams to run a route and be able to catch a ball.
Cool.
You know, so if he takes some chances with that ball, yeah, he might throw an interception or two. But he also might get a lot more production. Then it opens up, you know, there's no run game that the Packers have put
right,
out there.
Right.
They clearly aren't throwing the ball deep. So they're not an over-the-top threat at all. So you're playing within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Packers
and
offense
not
isn't
taking,
scaring anybody.
And not taking any chances at all.
Right.
Now, some of that's going to be play call, sure. But some of that, at some point, Rodgers has to make a throw, has to take a chance. The comment I made earlier is he seems to be playing like a guy that just collected a $67 million signing bonus. Right?
That's a lot of money.
He's not taking the chance. He doesn't want to get hurt. He doesn't want to tarnish his reputation. You know, McCarthy is the scapegoat. Again, not saying that he shouldn't be taking a fair amount of the blame here, but I think
why not let him finish the season? It's four games left. Why now? You can't really get a head start on looking for coaches because all the other coaches you might be interested in are still coaching other teams.
I think it allows the Packers to start moving on.
Ah, move on. Fan base gets to move on for the final four games.
Yeah, so now we get to complain for four games and come up with our theories and you know, pat people on the back. We get to complain about Murphy, the president, CEO of the Packers, which is basically de facto owner in this case.
Who's going to, you know, become Jerry Jones and find a new coach.
He's the one making the football decisions. Yes. Never mind that he's got a staff that should be doing that for him. But we can have all these conversations. And then as we, you know, coaches aren't going to be available now.
Yep.
But inquiries can be made.
True. So I've got a question for you. Because you have ownership in the Green Bay Packers, correct?
I do, yes.
You've got your
mm-hmm.
little certificate that says you paid the money to become an owner.
Yes.
Great. That's
best,
fantastic.
Best investment ever.
Ever, yes.
I recommend it to all fans.
What is your return on that investment, by the way?
Zero.
Zero, okay. It is a great investment.
What can I sell it for?
Yes.
What I bought it for.
That's it?
Yeah, there's no...
You can't sell it for more?
No. No, it doesn't trade. It doesn't go
up in
value.
You
can't transfer it? Yeah, I'm sure I could hand it to somebody or something like
that.
Yeah, you
can transfer it. Like,
it doesn't trade on a stock market. So
no, I understand.
If the Packers win, it doesn't go up. If they lose, it doesn't go down.
But you pay, what, $500 for it? Something like that?
$350 or
something. So, but if I said, well, I'll give you $500 for it, you've made some money on the Packers stock.
Sure.
Now I've got it for $500.
Now why on earth would you do that?
And then it would be my job to try and sell it to some other Packer fan for $650. And then I made some money.
Yeah, but I don't I think all
why would another Packer fan do that if they could just, you know, go and
I think
buy it
all the Packer fans who want to own stock currently own stock.
Own stock already.
The rest of the rational Packer fans who say, why on earth would I own a Packer stock?
Yeah.
Have no interest in paying anything. So you're not gonna get them to pay more than what they would have normally.
Maybe I could. What if the Packers sell no more stock? What if they just decide tomorrow we're not selling any more of our stock to fans?
I don't think there is any. I don't think it's an ongoing.
Oh, so it's not ongoing.
I think they've done two offerings.
And then that's it.
And that's it.
So there
like
you
that,
go. So, what if you missed the offering? Well, you can have mine for $750.
Right. Good luck with that.
All right. Yeah. Can I sell yours?
No.
Packer fans, I don't get it. Maybe Jeff, because I think if you remember, folks, Jeff actually became a part owner and he was very excited about his stock. So maybe I'll get him to let me sell it. All right. So one final question on the whole Packers and McCarthy. As part owner, stockholder, who do you want to see come coach the team?
I think McVay. There's no questions.
So there's a possibility.
I've gotten sick and tired of the questions about who's going to be the next coach. I mean, it's
already.
Yes.
I mean, it's only been 2 days.
I know, but it's just. I mean, everybody you talk to has a list of theories and you know all the different people they want in there.
Because one of the theories I read is the Packers trade to the Rams for McVay.
Yeah,
they could do that. They would trade stuff
mm-hmm.
to get the coach.
Right. And the going theory there was that McVay is a historian of
yes,
the game, a fan of the game.
And so we're more historic than the Green Bay Packers.
So would the opportunity to coach at the Green Bay Packers be
you
enough
get Aaron
to
Rodgers.
Get him to say he wants to go?
Would you? I
does
might
he
think
have?
That's a...
But if he comes to the Packers, does he have anybody else? He doesn't have a Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Or Todd Gurley.
Or Todd Gurley. I mean, he doesn't have. I mean. The Rams are going to be great for years until some of these guys have to either get traded or you know they're coming off their rookie contracts and they have to get traded or get paid and then they can't share that with linemen and secondary and you know special teams players. So, I mean the Packers aren't going to blow the whole team up. You know they're not going to draft a quarterback in the upcoming draft. They're not going to they're going to make a couple of changes here or there, plug some holes here or there, but they're going to have a bunch of good players, but they're not going to have those two or three great standout players that you need to be a Rams or a Chiefs or a Saints that they've got out there right now.
Well, if they come calling, I will at least take the call from them.
Yeah. I'll give you some pointers on what to wear.
What to wear.
Heavy jacket. Take the warm gloves.
I'm not sure I can live in a cold city, man. I just don't think I can do it. Anyways, Good luck to the Packers there, and goodbye to McCarthy. Here's the crazy thing. I actually feel sad. I actually got to make a call tomorrow to Arkansas. One of the folks in our Arkansas office is real good friends with Mike McCarthy, and he was talking him up, man, and we were having great time talking football. It's telling me a bunch of McCarthy stories, and now I got to call him tomorrow and be like, I'm sorry.
Well, the bit I've heard that kind of seems to be, I mean, I'm not seeing it reported necessarily, but you just kind of hear it, is that the whole coaching staff for the Packers got complacent.
Yeah.
You know, you're not under fire that you're going to get fired. So why put in 16-hour days if I can put in 12-hour days? Well, the problem is the competition is putting in 16-hour days.
Right.
Because they're all still fighting for their jobs. They're still looking at, you know, few teams are as loyal as the Packers are or slow to make a decision like this that the Packers are. So,
well, on that note, the Packers also parted ways with assistant coach Winston Moss.
Mm-hmm.
A couple days after they let go of McCarthy, they decided Moss needed to go as well. So they're making changes. I think there's going to be a lot of changes. And I think at the end of the season, we're going to see some more internal changes before they come up with a coaching staff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if any of our if the OC or DC get a real look, or if they're going to go outside. So we'll see.
I think they're going to go outside. All right. Bad news for the Redskins, the Bengals, and the Panthers. Colt McCoy fractured his right fibula Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. In comes Mark Sanchez. Before Colt McCoy took over, his first game best starting, he played the Cowboys, and I was like, I'm not going to cheer for him this game because he's playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And the Cowboys won that one. But now I was cheering for Colt McCoy, and that's really hard for me to do, to cheer for a Redskin. And when I saw that play, I feel so bad for this kid. He has worked so hard for the opportunity to start. And he didn't even get to start but two games. So hope it gets better, and hope he gets healthy soon. Colt, we'd love to see you back on the football field. The Cincinnati Bengals have decided to shut down wide receiver A.J. Green. He missed a few games with a toe injury. He came back. He played up until, I think, the beginning of the second half. In their game this past weekend until his toe started hurting again. And they said, you know what, let's shut it down. Let's get surgery on that thing, get you healthy. So he's out. And then tight end Greg Olsen, after coming back from an injury as well earlier in the season, he ruptured a plantar fascia, which is the bottom kind of like arch of the foot, and no pressure on his foot. And he has to have surgery, and he is out for the year. I would say three contending teams, but, you know, the Bengals were kind of pretty much out of it after they lost last week.
Yep.
The Redskins aren't going to go anywhere with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. I mean, he keeps adding to his butt legacy, though.
Oh, my God, yes. He recovered a fumble with his butt. What is his deal with butts?
He's lost one.
And he's now recovered
one. Recovered one.
Yes. The king of butt fumbles. And then the Carolina Panthers, if you look at them, they're now 6-6. They're kind of free falling. They've lost three in a row. I cannot believe they lost last week. But there you go. All those guys out for the season. The Los Angeles Rams have clinched not only a playoff berth, Steve, they have clinched the West. We still got four games to go, man.
Yeah. You're not really talking too many other divisions where you're talking about clinching yet.
None.
Yeah. Well,
I think the Patriots if they beat the Dolphins and the Bills lose, I think they can clinch the division. But outside of that,
I'm pretty sure the Patriots could just forfeit the rest of their games and just by the rest of the AFC East
losing, they win the division.
They will by default win. So I don't think they have any more work to actually do to win the East, but.
But they're still trying to get a playoff bye.
Yeah.
Yes, they have a playoff bye. You know what? You've never met Professor Playoffs.
No.
No,
I have not. No. What do I have to look forward to?
I may have to get Professor Playoffs to come in next week. Because, I mean, it's time now where you got to, you know, the hunt and the teams that are in and leading the division. And he will wrap it all up for you in a nice, tight bow and let you – oh, you have got to meet Professor Playoffs. That's going to be so fun next week. Professor Playoffs coming in and setting the final 3 weeks of the season up. And then, last but not least, Steve, congratulations. Let me give you a little round of applause here.
Yes, thank you.
No, you know what? We need a bigger applause.
A bigger crowd. Our live studio audience.
Tied an NFL rants and raves record for the longest consecutive losing streak in the challenge game of 5. How does that feel?
You know, I'm just happy in my first season with you to do something memorable.
Okay.
I think as I mentioned earlier in the year, the first week or two when we started introducing Lady Edith's picks into this, that there was a concern early on that she might actually beat me.
I don't think you have any problem. You have to worry about that.
I haven't been concerned about that in a number of weeks, and yes. I'm not going to be concerned through the end of the season. But it was about time to take some portion of this show and make it mine.
Make
so
it yours.
All losing right. The challenge game. Let's see if I, because I'm tied, right? Or did I set the...
You're tied.
Right.
So you are now going for next week. And as we go to our picks later, you're going to have to make another pick here.
Yep.
You have the possibility of being all by yourself, breaking the tie, and being the first person on NFL Rants and Raves to lose 6 consecutive games in the challenge game.
Yeah, let's see what we can do about that.
All right, let's see what we can do. Because I don't want to put any added pressure on you, but you do need to know this, right? It's 9-3 right now. Okay?
Yeah.
I am up 9-3. There's 13 weeks, but the first week was a tie. Nobody won, so it's 9-3. I'm up. I'm up by 6.
Yeah.
Okay. We got 4 regular season weeks left, and then we have 4 playoff weeks. Wild card, divisional, championship, and the Super Bowl.
So I'm not eliminated yet.
You're not eliminated yet. But you have to win 6 to catch me. That leaves only 2 left. So you can nigh afford to lose two more games.
It's time to get a streak on.
Yes, you got to get on a roll. You got to get on a roll here, buddy. All right. No pressure.
None. But none whatsoever.
You got to get on a roll. All right, let's get to it. It's time for me to do a little rant on the National Football League. Now, as we said earlier, the Kansas City Chiefs, shortly before kicking off this week, week 13, where they defeated, who did they beat this week? I forgot, because they just took care of business like the Oakland Raiders. They played the Oakland Raiders. And actually, that game was a little bit closer than many anticipated, but still.
For a bit it was.
Yeah. The Kansas City Chiefs released running back Kareem Hunt. A video surfaced on November 30th, which was Friday, by TMZ that showed Kareem Hunt getting into an altercation with a woman at a hotel in Cleveland. He hit her. He kicked her. And this is an incident that happened all the way back in February 10th. What day is it today, Steve?
It would be what, December 4th, 5th?
4th. Today's the 4th of December. He got fired from the Kansas City Chiefs 4 days ago on November 30th, which was the Friday before the weekend. The Chiefs cut him when they saw the video. But my question to the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL, who the NFL commissioner put him on the commissioner exempt list, and by the way, Kareem Hunt has cleared waivers. Nobody picked him up. He is now a free agent, sitting on the commissioner's exempt list. This happened back February. Now, I'm not good with math, so I'm just going to count on my fingers here, Steve.
6 weeks? Is that the difference there? No, no, it's probably more than 6 weeks.
Between what?
February and now.
Yeah, well, it's a lot more than 6 weeks.
Yeah, math isn't a strong suit for me, so.
March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. That's 9 months the amount of time that it takes to carry a baby to term is how long the NFL has had with the knowledge that Kareem Hunt was involved in some altercation back in February. And they did nothing until TMZ and their weaselly ways gets their hands on this video and posts it for the whole world to see. Shock and awe. Oh, my God. We're living Ray Rice all over again. I can't believe that that's Kareem Hunt. And he the woman was down on her knees and he kicked her. That I saw for sure. Now, of course, the Chiefs were like, oh, we can't have that. We talked about Kareem Hunt earlier in the offseason. He lied to us, so now we're cutting. The league's like, we're putting him on the commissioner's exempt list. We investigated. We didn't feel that there was any cause for a suspension or anything like that. My problem with the NFL, who continues to sit on its high horse and say, we are against our players who partake in the activity of domestic violence. We're going to be tougher on them. We're going to be harder on them. We're going to come after them. And last year, they seemed to take a guy, Ezekiel Elliott, who was accused but was never charged. There were no videos. There really wasn't anything out there to show us what he did. Yet, they were pretty adamant that they were going to suspend him, and they eventually did for 6 games. Why weren't they that hard on Kareem Hunt this offseason? Why didn't they send their dogs and all of their security and anybody and everybody who could go out there to find out the truth of what happened in this matter? Why weren't they quick to pull the trigger in suspending another player that was accused of domestic violence? If there was an accusation that a player hit a woman, shouldn't they have gone and seen, one, if there was any video, or sent some of their people to Cleveland and say, hey, see what you could dig up on this? Because from what we are hearing now, the NFL didn't request for a video until November 30th, after TMZ had released their video. If you are this powerful organization that's worth, what, $8 billion, you're trying to tell me that your security team isn't big enough, isn't smart enough, isn't equipped with the contacts in all of the cities where you have a sports organization to come up with this video? At the very least, to have seen some of the footage that we are now seeing? Because for someone who's saying we want to be hard on our players, it sure doesn't look like they were hard on Kareem Hunt. And that is a problem.
It is. Well, and what's the alternate to the questions you've just asked of, you know, they're incapable, they don't know how to get this type of information? The flip side to, okay, they are good enough, they are strong enough, they do have the ability to get it. It means they've seen it and decided not to do anything about it.
That's even worse!
Right. So if, I mean, it Your two options are they saw it and did nothing, or they couldn't get it.
And which is incompetent to not being able to get it.
Now,
which bad one do you want to be?
Right. We're not talking about a court of law here. We're not talking, I mean, this is a private organization, a private employer that they can make hiring and firing decisions without, unlike a court of law where you have to prove they're presumed innocent until they're proven guilty. You don't
Great.
Need to prove guilt in a personnel decision by the NFL. They can make a decision based on with Zeke
based on
an interview.
An interview with the woman who accused him.
And they can decide that's credible enough to take action.
Even though it wasn't credible enough for any legal system because
right.
there were never any charges brought to him. He wasn't even arrested.
Right. So it wasn't going to stand up in court, but they still made a decision based on what they heard and what they saw to take action at the time. And here, again, if even if they couldn't get the video from a legal perspective.
Standpoint. They don't need it from a legal standpoint.
If the hotel in question said, you know what, we're not going to release it due to privacy concerns of our guests or whatever it happens to be, are you telling me that none of the security personnel couldn't get in touch with somebody who could get access to this thing just to see it? Even if they don't actually get possession of it, and a security guy can come back and say, yeah, I saw it, it's not good.
So, but here's what I'm saying. If TMZ can, obviously TMZ paid some money to whoever leaked the video, right? Someone from the hotel organization said, I'm going to make me some money. I'm going to go to TMZ. Hey, TMZ, I've got this video of Kareem Hunt. How much do you want to pay me for it? They'll say, hey, we'll give you $30,000. I could use $30,000 right now, and the exchange happens. You don't think the NFL security team has that kind of slush money that they could pay somebody to give them a video for $30,000?
Right. And since you don't need to do it,
you're not going to take it to a court of law.
You just need to make a personnel decision. But they didn't appear to want to see it.
They didn't appear to. Here's a report on the Kansas City Star. So this is a local newspaper handling the Chiefs, right? And he says, the National Football League did not file a formal request for records of the February 10th incident in Cleveland involving former Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt until November 30th, the same day TMZ published video footage of the assault of the hotel. How is that even possible? You don't even go to the hotel and be like, at the very least, can we see this video? That's all I'm asking.
I know we're ranting here, but let's just give the benefit of the doubt here. The wording is they asked for a formal request. So, okay, they put it in writing, sent a letter, please send. The hotel says no.
Okay,
they might have sent their security guys 9 months ago, and the hotel says, no, we're not going to turn it over. And they call the NFL guys back and say, yeah, they're not going to turn it over. So they didn't make a formal request.
True that.
So again.
But even still, that
it doesn't change the point that's trying to be made here of,
you didn't try very hard.
Somehow they could get access to this if they were truly trying to find it.
I think what I'm tired of seeing from the NFL is, we're just going to wait until the video surfaces. You got to be better than that. You can't just go along saying, okay, hopefully this never comes up and we're done with it. Sorry, in this day and age, the day and age we live in now, where everyone has a camera on their phone, literally anybody can be a video reporter on the street, cameras everywhere, on the street, in stores, in restaurants, in hotels, everything is pretty much documented, that the NFL doesn't try harder to obtain this video so that when they make a decision, say, you know, we have this, we have documents of this incident, this is why, you know, we're based on that, we're going to suspend Kareem Hunt. And you know what? You don't ever have to show the video. Okay, yeah, I'm sure TMZ will eventually find it somehow, and they'll get it.
But the NFL doesn't have to release it.
If
8 months ago they had said, we have sufficient evidence to suspend Kareem Hunt.
Right.
And now this video from TMZ comes out, the NFL can say, yeah, we saw it, which is why we suspended him.
Exactly. Exactly. But they have to know it's out there. As an organization at the top, you need to know if one of your players is accused of doing something wrong, you need to assume immediately there's video of that. There is video of that altercation or of that problem, and we need to go out and find it before someone else does and makes us look bad again. And that can't continue to happen. And I still, not only as a fan of the league, especially as a fan of the Cowboys, I want to know what they have on Ezekiel Elliott that they were able to suspend him for 6 games that none of us saw, yet this comes out, and they knew about it and didn't suspend Kareem Hunt.
Maybe Zeke just fessed up to the whole thing.
I don't think so. He was adamant at fighting the whole thing that he didn't do anything. Yeah, so it's a little weird what the NFL does and how they're policing things. And bottom line, I'll say it to the NFL players again. I think I've been very clear on this show. Don't put your hands on women, you freaking cowards. Enough. I mean, If someone gets you that upset of the other, someone from the opposite sex gets you that upset that you feel like the only, your only recourse is to beat on them, leave.
Yeah.
Walk away and
you,
leave.
You play a game which in where a guy that's as big or bigger than you are is trying to hurt you, and you can have, I mean, how many plays are there in an NFL game? You know,
offensive, he's probably on the field for about 60 plays.
60 plays a game.
Times 16, right. Yeah, that's how many.
Somebody's trying to knock his block off.
And you can go.
And you can walk away from that.
But you can't walk away from a woman calling you whatever it is she called you.
Right.
Jeez, man. All right.
All right. Let's get into some picks.
That was really.
We've been off for a week, so.
We have. That's time for week 14, Steve. Week 14, and I'm going to surprise you right off the bat. Not one, but two. Los Juegos Grandes, Gigantes, Estupendos de la Semana. That's right. Not one, but two giant games of the week. We'll start in Dallas, where the Dallas Cowboys at 7-5 host the Philadelphia Eagles at 6-6. The winner takes sole possession of first place in the East. Who do you got, Steve?
So Monday night we saw Philly kind of beat up on the Redskins here.
Banged up, beat up, no offensive line.
That's
Mark
where I'm
Sanchez.
Going. If you look at the score, if you look at the box score,
yeah.
Philadelphia beat up on the Redskins.
Sure. On the Red Sox, on the Redskins.
Redskins. So, I don't think, to your point, I don't think that the Eagles are good. They just played a really bad, you know, off balance team in the Redskins.
Yes.
You know, having Sanchez come in, you know, mid game. I mean, you already were bringing a new quarterback up. Sanchez coming in, you know.
Gruden saying that the playbook had to be really limited. I think Gruden said that they had less plays in the playbook for Sanchez to run than they would a third or fourth string quarterback in like the final preseason game. So that the third or fourth string quarterback in the final preseason game had more plays to be able to be called.
Yeah, because you're still trying to test that guy out. In the case of Sanchez, you don't want to test him. You want him to win.
Exactly. And he's only been on
You're doing your best not to let him fail. So if that means you put six plays out there and just randomly, you know, pick a finger and I'm going to do one of the six.
Yeah, that's tough. It's brutal. I'm not going to lie. I don't feel bad for the Redskins. They're the Redskins. So I can't feel bad for them. But they looked bad. And the Eagles didn't look all that great either.
No, they didn't.
Twice they got stopped inside the 5-yard line. They went for it on fourth and goal from the one. They got stuffed. Wentz threw an interception in the end zone when they were at the 5-yard line. They didn't look fantastic. They gave up a 90-yard touchdown run to Adrian Peterson. You know how crazy that is? He ran for 90 yards on one play. He didn't cross 100.
I got to say, though, that run was impressive. So the fact that he gets the handoff, and he can get the first 10 yards, not a surprise, all right? Great talent, even you know, old for a running back.
Yes.
The ability to find a hole, to make a cut, not terribly surprising that first 10 yards of that run was easy for him. The next 80, the fact that nobody caught him. I mean, he shifted gears and just went, and nobody could catch him.
So the crazy thing is, I yelled, "He gone!" like right as he hit that hole. And Trista's like, "He's at the 15. I'm like, "They're not going to catch him." And I was like, "Please don't let anybody catch him."
Can't be proven wrong on that one.
Exactly.
Right?
Nobody caught him, man. I mean, in a couple of them,
it was pretty
couple
impressive,
quarterbacks,
yeah.
they like turned up the notch. The Eagles, they were coming, but they could not catch up. That was a great run. But you know, he didn't have 100 yards in the game. He did not cross 100 yards.
I missed
in the game.
That.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Just crazy there. I've got the Dallas Cowboys. I think that defense has really grown up right before our eyes.
I agree. Yep.
And the fact that in previous years, that defense dies when Sean Lee gets hurt and is out of the football game. No Sean Lee on the football field, and the Dallas Cowboys defense looked lost. Not anymore. Van Der Esch has come in. Jalen Smith is healthy 100%. Those guys are flying around the football field like nobody's business. I think Dallas is hungry, and they're going to win this game and say, this division is ours. We don't care what you did last year. We don't care that, you know, you hoisted the Lombardi. This year is going to be – we are going to win this division. And the Cowboys know that they take a two-game lead and, in essence, take a three-game lead on the Eagles. They beat the Eagles. They will beat them twice. They will have a two-game lead plus that third game of virtue of having the home head-to-head tiebreaker. That division's over.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think the Cowboys at home, they're feeling really comfortable. Offense still isn't sinking like it needs to. But as long as the defense plays how they played and how they held Drew Brees to 10 points, I think the Philadelphia Eagles, plus the Philadelphia Eagles, man, they're not in the secondary. They are.
No.
They are just weak in the secondary. And I think the addition of Cooper opens up Ezekiel Elliott, you know, running, and what Zeke's doing this year that he hasn't done in the past couple of years, catching the ball coming out of the backfield. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little excited for this game. I cannot wait to see it. Should be a good one. And the only thing that disappoints me right now, I got Dallas. You got Dallas. But Lady Edith, in back-to-back weeks, has gone against Dallas, and she's got the Eagles.
It was great that she was picking Dallas consistently early on when they were having their struggles.
Yes.
And now that they've grown up and they're starting to play, she suddenly starts picking against him.
Great.
There's got to be a theory. We'll have to have a conversation with her.
Okay, we will. So there you go. Steve and I have Dallas. Lady Edith staying with the Philadelphia Eagles. The second El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana, the Los Angeles Rams travel to Chicago to face the Bears. Man, high-powered offense, stifling, crushing defense. This is a game that's going to be awesome. I cannot wait to see it and what Jared Goff and McVay have for Khalil Mack in that Chicago defense.
So if I've missed this, so clearly the Bears defense is lights out good right now.
Yes.
But that's all on the line, right? I mean, their secondary is good, but not
it's pretty good.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, the secondary is not fantastic, but it's still a good
secondary.
Where
I'm going with this is the Rams don't have one or two weapons on offense to pass the ball to. They spread that ball out fairly well.
There's no one guy that you can focus on.
Right. So it's not like your second, not like the Bears secondary can double team or cheat the safety over to practice
to, anybody.
To
yeah.
one player.
Correct.
Because they'll burn you on where you leave the hole. So as long as they can get that ball out quickly enough to mitigate the pass rush, and they have been.
And that's the big point, though. When Goff is on and he is getting that ball out quickly, the Rams are pretty tough to stop. When he holds on to the ball a little bit, and if he does against this Bears defense, he's going to take some shots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but we've seen that with other teams that the – who did the Bears lose to? Didn't they lose to the Bills?
Just lost to the Giants this week.
Yeah, it was. I didn't even see that game.
That game went to overtime.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the Chicago Bears are without Mitch Trubisky. They had Chase Daniel out there. Come on, dude. So that's going to hurt them. And I believe Mitch Trubisky is going to be out this week again. So you're not getting Chicago's A game, because they're not going to have their starting quarterback. But I'm curious to see how the Rams' offense responds, because, look, what everybody was telling me, and I was in Arkansas for the Cowboy-Saints game, everybody was, and that's Cowboy country, but I was like, yeah, man, but I don't think the Cowboys can hang with the Saints if the Saints start, you know, running up the score. And I was like, yeah, but I don't think the Cowboys are going to let them run up the score. They're going to play keep away. They're going to, you know, extend drives. They're going to run the clock out, you know. And that's how you do again. I think that's what the Bears are going to try and do. They're going to run a lot of Howard. They're going to run a lot of, you know, short, quick passes. Keep the clock moving. And if you keep Goff and Gurley and the host of wide receiver weapons on the sideline, you don't have to worry about them putting up 38, 40 points, right?
Right. Well, and the loss I was thinking about for the Bears was the Dolphins. They beat the Bills 41-9. But the loss to the Dolphins where – you know, going into that game, they had lost the game, the opener against the Packers, in that comeback from Rodgers.
Right.
And then they kind of the next 3 weeks they run the one they beat the Seahawks, Cardinals, and Bucks. But we thought that pass rush had really improved. Bears were on a roll. They were looking great. And then they played the Dolphins.
They ran into the buzzsaw that is the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, exactly.
The 6-6 Miami Dolphins.
Yes. Well, remember, yeah. they actually started the season fairly well.
Well, yeah, they did. They did.
But it was I think at the time you saw the Dolphins get that ball out quickly, which mitigated the pass rush.
Yes.
And then the week after, the Patriots mirrored that as well or better than
the
Dolphins.
Yeah, as long as you can, you know, keep those guys on the front line there from Chicago at bay, you're going to be okay. But
yeah, and then you look at the next couple of games. I mean, they've got the next six games, if you include Giants, they've got wins over the Jets, Bills, two over the Lions. You know, the only win that was kind of a challenging win was the Vikings.
Yeah.
So they've, I don't see the Bears defense without question is strong. I see the Rams slicing and dicing. I mean, this is what we're seeing with the McVay regime here with the Rams, is that they've got that football IQ to be able to understand how do you beat that pass rush for the Bears. And I think they're going to come in and execute it. Now, obviously, the Bears are going to do something to counter that, knowing that that's what the Rams are going to come in.
Right.
And if they've made that adjustment after the back-to-back losses against Miami and New England, they've then gone 5-1 since then.
Right.
So, you know, not saying that they're not. I mean, they're definitely a very good team. They're definitely playoff. They're going to win the North, and go on. But I don't see.
Yeah,
them
I mean,
stopping the Rams.
Ultimately, it's going to come down to play on the offense side of the ball. Look, the Rams defensively are starting to play good football. You know, Donald and Sue and those guys in the front for the Rams are starting to play really good football as well. They're going to eat up Chase Daniel.
Right. Well, that's the other side of it, is that it's not like they're playing the Saints or Kansas City, the Rams, meaning that. If they can hold them to 35 points and then counter with 40 of their own.
Right.
In this case, you've got a Bears offense that
you score 30 and you're going to be okay, because I don't think the Bears are going to score
30. Yeah, the Bears probably aren't going to get more than, 15 or 20. I mean, there's a chance. We've seen it happen this season.
Yeah, but I don't think.
But I don't see against this Rams defense.
So we are all on the Rams, including Lady Eva. She has really come to embrace her hometown team.
That she has, yes.
May be in danger of, losing.
No.
No, not even close. Not even close.
She wants to get a job, find an apartment. She can root for whoever she wants. She wants to live under my roof. She's a Packers fan.
At two. She's going to.
At two. She,
at
yes.
two. You know what? Lady,
we are a family of natural consequences. You want to make a decision to root for another team, that is perfectly acceptable to me. Go find a place to live and get a job.
You tell Lady Edith that she is always welcome in my home. We'll put her in the...
Thank you for undermining my parenting.
I mean, if it means that, she gets to cheer for the team that she wants, I have not put... Look, my girls are Dallas Cowboy fans, but not because I told them if you want to cheer for another team, you gotta go to somewhere else.
Your girls are old enough at this point to make their own decisions, and they have made their decision to follow the Cowboys.
Yes, yes.
Edith is not yet to the point where she can make a decision. Now this is all just fun and games, because unless the Packers and Rams play each other and she has to make a decision between the two.
Well, that's not going to happen now, because, there's a team that's not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're no longer playing in the NFC Championship game like I had planned.
Yeah, so she's not going to have to make that decision.
Until they play, she can root for the Rams as long as she's not rooting against the Packers at the same time.
So if the season were to end today, the Cowboys at the 4 seed, and if they won their wild card game, would have to come to Los Angeles. And
I see a Coliseum visit in the future.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I will be there. But would she pick the Rams over the Cowboys? I mean, well, in successive weeks, she's picked Atlanta, New Orleans, and now Philadelphia. I'm not very happy right now.
No.
All right. There you go. We're all in the Rams. It's time to move to games of the week. This is going to be a good one. I almost went a third El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana, but I didn't want to diminish that title so much. So I made it a game of the week. The Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson time. We are about to find out if Lamar Jackson is now becoming the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Would you make him the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens?
I think we've seen enough.
3-0.
I.
That's all I need to see.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter how you do it. It matters that you do it. And he's 3-0. So, yeah.
Well, we will find out soon. Although I think Harbaugh is – look, Harbaugh is loyal. So I think he's probably going to start Flacco. But I think he's going to have a big chunk of packages for Lamar Jackson to come in if necessary. So,
yeah, if Flacco doesn't hit the ground running,
yeah.
It'll be a short-lived tenure or a lot of questions will be asked.
It doesn't matter who it is, Flacco or Lamar Jackson. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are humming. And I think probably this whole incident with Kareem Hunt might have been pretty good for Andy Reid, because Andy Reid knows how to take that adversity and let it help his team. Like other teams, adversity like that kind of breaks it apart. I think Andy Reid knows how to gel it into the organization and make the team hum. I think they're at home. I don't see how Baltimore goes in there and wins this game. I like Kansas City going away.
Yep, I'm with you on Kansas City.
All right, and Lady Edith also takes the Chiefs. Moving on, the Indianapolis Colts travel to Houston to face the Texans. All right. So, Houston has a
question
nine,
that I've – I'm sorry. Go.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, 9 straight wins. Do you remember after week 3, they're sitting there at 0-3. They had just lost to the New York Giants, by the way, who the Giants, as we know, not a great football team this year. And everybody was like, oh, my God, what is happening in Houston? They are a disaster. 9 straight wins. They're 9-3. They could pretty much seal the division with a win this week over Indianapolis. What do you got? What were you going to say?
Do you think the Texans are a Super Bowl contender?
Super Bowl contender? Let me say this.
Clearly they're playoff contender. Without question.
If they can somehow leapfrog the New England Patriots and get the number 2 seed, and that first division, the divisional round playoff game, they have to come, whatever team it is, has to come to Houston. I think Houston can get to the championship game, and then anything can happen in the championship game. So are they a Super Bowl contender? Yes, they are. I think the AFC has 5 legitimate teams that could claim the Super Bowl. You got the Chiefs, you got the Patriots, you got the Steelers, you got the Texans, and you got the Chargers. Any one of those teams could represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. You're looking at me with a kind of confused look.
I am confused at the ESPN standings for the playoffs, because it's as I'm looking down the AFC playoff bracket, they have the Seattle Seahawks as a tied for 5th with the Chargers in the AFC. So,
what?
That they do. Clearly some algorithm someplace that.
I was about to say,
nobody
the first
has
thing
actually reviewed is somehow getting this wrong.
I was going to say the first thing you did wrong is go to ESPN's website.
I know, but.
But here, so here, I'll give you a nice. If you want, go to NFL.com/playoffs. And that really is the best laid out, tells you exactly who's where right now, as of right now. It's got all the tie-breaking procedures. I believe Professor Playoffs uses this website when he makes his analysis.
All right.
You'll find out next week.
So if the season were done now, like
yes.
If last week was it, Texans are a 3rd seed. So they would host, what, the Ravens in wild
card
week?
They would host the Ravens on wild card weekend, yes.
And then they would, assuming a win and assuming the other side.
They with would the go third then, seed, they would go to the Patriots.
They would go to the Patriots, and then, yeah.
But there is a scenario, obviously, if the Texans were to win out and the Patriots lost the game, which is possible,
yeah,
they'd jump into number two seed.
I mean, the Patriots, well, I don't know. Other than the Steelers game, the Patriots have the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets left, so.
Yeah.
They might lose to the Steelers.
Wait a minute. So they're remaining Dolphins, Steelers, Bills. Oh, my God. They're yeah. the worst. Look at me. Like, oh, look, I just totally got deflated. Look at that. You know what? We'll cheer for the Steelers. Steelers are going to do the Houston Texans a solid, and they're going to beat the Patriots. They have to beat the Patriots.
I mean, Houston has left Colts, Jets, Eagles, and Jags. So
they can win out.
Yeah.
They can win out.
I mean, with the games they have won, they can definitely win out. So.
Yeah. They can win out, and the Patriots, if they stumble, you know.
Yep.
Hey, who knows? Maybe the Patriots stumble against Miami this week. They always play horrible when they go down to Miami. For whatever reason, Miami plays them tough at home. Anything could happen. After last week where the Giants beat the Bears and the Cardinals beat the Packers, anything could happen. Anything. All right. There you go. Who do you got?
I mean, the Colts are in their last six. They're 5-1. They lost last week that thrilling
6-0 shutout.
6-0 shutout.
They posted
to the
a goose
Jags.
Egg. They posted a goose egg. A big fat zero goose egg.
Yeah, I don't know. What I heard? The Jaguars have now been involved in two games this season that had a total of less than 15 points.
That's just gross. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got Houston. They're on a roll. I'm not seeing any reason.
In Indy, possibly I'm taking the Colts, but they're not beating Houston at home. All right, and Lady Edith also takes the Houston Texans. Moving on to our final game of the week, the Minnesota Vikings travel to Seattle to face the Seahawks. Monday Night Football, Seattle at 7-5, Minnesota at 6-5-1. This game is pretty much needed by both teams. Right now, Seattle and Minnesota are in the driver's seat for the wild card positions. Vikings at the 6th seed, Seahawks at the 5th seed. So they're right where they want to be. But the loser of this game, you know, in danger of, you got the 6-6 Panthers, 6-6 Eagles, 6-6 Redskins, all breathing down their neck. Loser of this game is in trouble of, you know, falling down in the pack and losing their grasp of the wild card game. And I got the Minnesota Vikings. They did not get any favors by the schedule makers sending them to New England last week and now sending them all the way across the country to Seattle. But the Seahawks, I think right now the Seahawks are smoke and mirror. Okay? Do you know like the magicians use? They use smoke and mirrors to make stuff disappear. Like, oh, look, here's the elephant. Smoke, and then the elephant is gone. And they've just replaced it with a mirror, and the elephant's still there. He's just, you know, the mirror makes it look like he's gone, right? You know the trick. Everybody knows that trick.
Sure, yep.
Okay, good. So that's what Seattle's doing right now. They're like, whoa, look, it's not a bad team at all. Smoke and mirrors. Whoa, they're 7-5. Look at them. That's impressive. The Seattle Seahawks are impressive at 7-5. I'm not sure they're that impressive. I like the talent on both the offense and the defensive side of the ball for Minnesota more than I do Seattle. Russell Wilson right now has been doing it all by himself. And eventually, you need a little bit more help than having to do it all by yourself. I think this is where the Minnesota Vikings bounce back. They get this win.
That's where the 12th man comes into play. Come on.
True. Who's going to lift the 12th man flag this week?
I don't know. I'm sitting here trying to find the home record for the Seahawks in the last couple of years, but it's been pretty good.
Pretty good. They lose at home. It's not like they don't lose at home.
Sure, but they've have a very big advantage at home.
It's crazy loud. One of the stadiums, Doc up north, who listens to the show. He was gracious enough to take me to a game. I was there against the 49ers. My ears, I almost bled. They were like this close to bleeding. That's how loud it gets up there. I understand that it's a difficult place to play in. I'm not sure the Seattle defense will be able to contain the Minnesota offense.
So let me walk through the list of teams the Vikings have won that have beaten this year with a winning record.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Go. Okay, I'm done. I mean, they haven't won against a team with a winning record yet this season.
I hear you, okay? But my defense to that argument is you can only beat the people that they put in front of you.
Sure.
Right? I mean, they have a tie against the Packers. Then they beat the Packers. Yeah, they lost to the Bears. It was a close game, though, right? That was a close one. I think last week's double-digit loss to the Patriots is probably one of their worst losses all year. They've been they've been in every single football game that they've lost.
But they looked horrible in that loss.
Except for the Bills one, I'm sorry. Week two or week three against the Bills, they got blown out like 50-0. That game was awful. Outside of that game. And that was an anomaly. They haven't looked that bad since. All right. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But just know that if you convince me to switch to Seattle, that only leaves you.
Oh, no. You're locked in to take the Vikings.
No. We're not locked in.
You're done.
We're not locked in. Wait a minute.
You published this and everything, right?
We have to go through all the games. I have wiggle room to change here. You're making a valid argument to try to get me to change. Oh, you're not trying to get me to change?
Well, if you're going to change your pick, then I mean, I completely agree that what Russell Wilson is doing it all and he can't continue to do it. The Vikings can't be contained. And yeah, I completely agree with everything you're saying. I now just have a gut feeling that Seattle's going to win the game. And we all know how successful I've been on my gut feelings.
So here it is. So Steve has now gotten to the point where he really, really needs a challenge game win, that he's not trying to convince me to move to his side. He just wants to.
I know we have switched our picks during the show from time to time.
Yes, yes.
But it's so infrequent that I'm not realizing that if I make a good enough argument that you're gonna suddenly switch, and now I'm gonna be stuck with.
I honestly didn't think that the Vikings had not one of their six wins. One of their six wins didn't come against a team that has a winning record. At least a 500 record. Give me something to stay with Minnesota on the road.
Their wins are against the 49ers, Eagles, Cardinals, Jets, Lions, and Packers.
Oh, my God. So only the Eagles are at 6-6. No, I'm going to stick with my pick. It's a gut. It's a gut feeling. I think they're going to beat Seattle. I don't think Seattle's running the table by any means. I think this one's going to get them in the butt. You're going to make that the challenge game, aren't you?
A high probability, yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
Like, if you're sticking with your Vikings pick, then I'm comfortable locking this in as my challenge game right now.
You don't even want to hear what other games we differ on?
No, I'm comfortable enough in my pick here, which should, I mean, for anyone betting on the game, please run away from Seattle at this point.
Because here's the thing. I got to pull this up. 2018 challenge game. So I'm pulling it up, and I believe that two of your challenge game wins, two out of your three wins, Seattle. No, I'm going to Seattle. I'm changing my pick. It's an official.
Now watch Minnesota win by like 41-3 or something.
I will be so pissed. You are right. No, look at this. Week three, Seattle beats Dallas. And then, again, week 8, Seattle beats the Lions. Those are two of your three challenge game wins. I cannot give you Seattle again. That is pretty weenie of me just changing because it's the, you want to make it the challenge game.
That's a heck of a – you're not going to let me have Seattle. Like, suddenly they're my guys or something.
Well, the two of your challenge game wins they are have, Seattle. They have,
that's just – trust me, there's no –
That is why I keep a record of everything, Steve.
Have I picked the Seahawks in any of my losses?
Any of your losses?
My 9 losses?
No. None of your 9 right. losses were the Seahawks.
So blind luck there. It's not like I've been riding them for half the challenge games or something.
But you rode them at the right times.
Sure. Clearly, I know what I'm doing in the challenge games.
Can we keep going? And then at the end of the game, we'll decide. We'll leave it like that for now. Games of importance, moving on. And, you know, because it has been a while and we've been yapping away for over an hour already. New England Patriots at Miami Dolphins. This is one where I would normally take the Dolphins because they're at home. I can't trust them as far as I can throw them. I got New England.
Yep, I'm with you on New England. I hear you that Miami somehow finds a way to play them tough in Miami.
I think New England looks like they're in postseason form. They're at that
right
at
now.
That time of the year, but I do hope that somehow Brady loses 2 or 3 yards so that he gets away from his 1,000 yard rushing. That he did you see at the end of the game when he went to kneel? He kneeled forward so that they would not subtract a yard for his kneel down.
I missed that one.
Because during the game he rushed for 5 yards. To hit 1,000 yards exactly.
Those were my favorite stats coming out over the weekend, though. It took him how many seasons?
Took him more games than anybody. I mean, it was like 259 games.
It was the ones where it said, okay, so it took Brady 259 games to get 1,000 yards. Compared to the other leaders, it took, and it lists like the top 3 or 4 that right. got him in 52 games and 13 games or whatever. I mean, it was just... Like,
well, even some of the old guys that they showed, I think like Otto Graham, it took him like 159 games. This is like 100 less than Brady did.
There's probably a reason the guy's going to play until he's 45 years old, right?
So
if he never has to do anything other than stand in the pocket and find an open receiver.
That was the best highlight I think I saw. Fall
like a stuffed doll when he does go down.
Trish is like, why are you watching a highlight over and over of Tom Brady kneeling? I'm like, because look at, he's not kneeling down backwards 1 yard like every quarterback does. He kneels forward to make sure he is, when his knee hits, the ball is in front of the line of scrimmage so they don't take a yard away from him so that he stays at 1,000. That was just, I mean, that tells you all you need to know about Brady right there. I mean, he's a competitive guy. He wants his stats. But the fact that he knows his stats, like in the middle of the game,
yeah.
Someone told him, hey, you just rushed for 1,000 yards. Congratulations. Ooh, I better not kneel backwards.
Right.
I want to keep my 1,000
right,
yards.
Right, the fact that after all these games, it's not like he suddenly is saying, well, oh, you know what? Now that I've got 1,000 yards rushing, yeah. I can retire happily. No,
I can keep my pride.
It almost would have been a better story if he did take the kneel down, get 999,
and that's
and then sort of... and then all week we're talking about, dude, he had 1,000, yeah. And then suddenly he didn't. I mean, since it matters nothing to
exactly.
anyone, I mean, it's
and
not
I'm
like...
sure over the next 4 games he'll probably rush for another couple yards and go over 1,000 for good. I got the Patriots, you got the Patriots, but Lady Edith, she is feeling the Miami home vibe.
She's
and taking
those
the
Dolphins.
Yep. New Orleans Saints at 10-2. Tampa Bay coming off a big win over Carolina last week. They're at 5-7. Tampa Bay's kind of like on the outside looking in for the playoffs right now, but I don't think they get the win.
No, I don't. I don't see how they get up for this game, knowing full well that the Saints are coming off of the game that they're coming off of.
Yeah. Yo, Drew Brees is not going to sneak up the place twice.
No.
Back-to-back weeks.
No.
Although Tampa Bay did beat New Orleans in New Orleans to start the year.
But that's when they were Fitzmagic.
Ah, that's right, Fitzmagic. Hey, Jameis Winston has been balling out, you know, those last couple games. So This is going to be an interesting one, but I take the Saints. There's no way the Saints win.
But there's
Saints lose back to back.
Look, week one, there's not enough film on Tampa Bay to really figure out how to defend. Right? There's plenty of film on whoever is going to start for Tampa Bay. That New Orleans isn't going to be surprised by anything that's thrown at them. So,
yeah, I got the Saints. You got the Saints. Lady Edith continues to love her Pirates, and she's got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, final game of importance, the New York Giants at 4-8 and the Washington Redskins at 6-6. Bottom line here is the loser is pretty much going to be done. The Giants have some
Does the winner stay in it? I mean, I guess for the Redskins, but...
The Redskins will stay in it. The Giants have a way long outside shot, but... They're
not mathematically eliminated. Yes.
Two games of interest. The Atlanta Falcons at 4-8 travel to Green Bay to face the 4-7-1 Green Bay Packers. And the only reason, folks, this is a game of interest, I want to see what the Packers do now that McCarthy is gone.
Who knows? I mean,
I almost took Atlanta. If I take Atlanta, if I change to Atlanta in this game, will you make this the challenge game?
No. No. I have absolutely no faith at the moment that the Packers are going to do anything. I mean, the fact that they lost last week.
Why are you taking the Packers this week?
I'm picking them this week because, I don't have.
They want to stick it to McCarthy and say, see, we didn't need you to win.
Well, look, so if Rodgers somehow decides, like, if he was on a campaign to get McCarthy out of there. He was intentionally stinking up the joint because he knew McCarthy would take the fall for it. Now that it's happened.
Now he's going to ball out?
I have a hard time believing that Rodgers was intentionally playing conservatively and poorly to get his coach fired. You know, maybe he's still upset that they let his quarterback's coach go in the offseason, that he didn't have a say in who they were hiring, and so his redemption is to get McCarthy fired this season. I have a hard time believing that Rodgers would be that vindictive and hold that much of a grudge that he would tank a season of football to prove his point. Now, of course, if he goes out, they win out, and then suddenly they're scoring 60 points a game. Okay, now my theory holds sense, but I don't see how that is. So I don't think they have the talent. I don't think they have the game plan at the moment, and it's not like they're bringing somebody new in to come up with some brilliant idea.
Right.
I mean, our offensive coordinator, now temporary coach or interim coach, was with the Packers for years before he went out to Miami and Indianapolis and came back. You know, we've got a new defensive coordinator that, you know, he sparked some life into the defense, but he still hasn't turned them around into being a great defensive squad. So it's not like we're bringing in some new brilliant thinker in an offensive coordinator that we didn't have access to before.
Okay.
So
I got the Packers.
I've got the Packers winning it because at a 9-point line, I don't know how I wouldn't pick them.
Right.
It's a replayable play of last week. We've got a team from Atlanta in a dome coming into Green Bay. Where it's going to be cold. But logically, they're getting a 6-point favorite just because of its, you know, Atlanta coming into Green Bay.
Yep.
So, but they still should win this game. But I don't, if we're sitting here a week from now and Atlanta won, I won't be surprised.
Right. We all got the Packers in this one. Final game of interest, the Cincinnati Bengals without AJ Green travel to Los Angeles to face the LA Chargers at 9-3. I've got San Diego. That game last week, I thought they were out of it. I was like, good for Steve. He's not going to tie the record of losing 5 in a row. Way to go, Steve. And then
and then
the third quarter starts, and I'm like, oh, man. Oh, Chargers are alive. And then when they tied it, I was like, oh, wow. And then when he kicked off the kickoff return for a touchdown, I was like, what?
I think I turned off the game at some point when the announcers started talking about how the most exciting thing going on is the fact that Rivers has more kids on the way. Like, all right,
he does have his ninth child on the way.
Right, so it's like, all right, the game's done. They're talking filler stuff.
Right,
and we can just walk away. And then I come back to find out no.
So you didn't actually see the exciting comeback?
No, I did not.
Oh man, that was a good football game in the second half. I got the Chargers. You got the Chargers, and Lady Edith has the Chargers. Nap games. I'll say the teams. You tell me who you got. Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I got Tennessee, and Lady Edith has Tennessee. New York Jets at Buffalo.
All three of us are with Buffalo.
There you go. Carolina at Cleveland.
Ooh, here's where we differ. So I've got Cleveland.
Wait, we're not supposed to differ on nap games, man.
Yeah, well.
Why you got Cleveland? I know Carolina's on a three-game losing streak, but they need it more. They need to stay in the playoff hunt. Cleveland has no hunt.
Cleveland has no hunt, but they're at home. That defense still seems to be rocking fairly well.
Did they get
well.
Beat down last week?
Yeah, but
you know, semantics. Okay. It's a gut. You have a gut.
Yeah.
I think this should be your challenge game.
Yeah, because you don't want me to go with Seattle.
Do I have to move to Seattle? Is that what you're saying? You want me to move off of Minnesota onto Seattle?
No. If you want this to be the challenge game, yes, you have to change your Minnesota pick to Seattle.
Okay. If I want this to be the challenge game.
So it is all, I mean, I guess I could change any of the other games too.
True, you can.
Watch, but you switch to Seattle, that I'd be a punk and go take Minnesota, still make it a challenge game and win it.
Oh my God, that would be awful. Wouldn't that be the worst? That would be the worst. But it would be good for you because you would not be alone with six consecutive losses. Which, trust me, I don't want you to be alone at six consecutive losses.
Well,
I
then
don't.
Throw
I
the
really
challenge game. Come on.
So just leave it Minnesota-Seattle? There you go.
No, you think Minnesota's going to win the game.
I do, and I'm actually staying there. Carolina, Lady Edith's got Carolina. You got Cleveland. Denver Broncos at San Francisco 49ers.
We've all got Denver.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is my lock of the week. Denver minus 5 points. I think they're going to win by a touchdown or more. The San Francisco 49ers in their last three games, all losses, have allowed 32.3 points per game. Denver's going to score more than that. They'll win by a touchdown or more. We're all on Denver. Pittsburgh at Oakland.
We're all on Pittsburgh.
And Detroit at Arizona.
Everyone's on Detroit.
Man, even though Arizona won last week against Green Bay.
What, are they suddenly a good team?
No, they're a bad team. They are a bad team.
I mean, so is Detroit, but
Detroit's got at least a little bit of defense, a little bit of life in them. We have gone way over time, but you know what? That's what happens when we're gone for a week. Thank you, wherever you are in this great world of ours. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and you're getting ready for the holiday seasons. Come out and visit us on the website, NFLRNR.com. Facebook.com/NFL Rants and Raves. Come check out all the stuff we're doing. I'm Steven Miranda.
Oh, sorry. I'm Steve Fry.
Yeah, he is Steve Fry.
Sleeping at the wheel here.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.